Hour of Programming is supported in part by Parkland College. Nearly one in five adult Illinois residents struggle with basic reading, math, and English. Project Read helps hundreds in our community learn those needed skills and reach educational goals. Homemakers, retirees, professionals, and college students volunteer as tutors and make a difference in others' lives. Project Read is now training new tutors and connecting learners with tutors. You may sign up online. For more information, visit parkland.edu/Project Read, made possible by the Illinois State Library. And now stay tuned for this week's episode of Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Sam Vint, writer and director of several documentary films, and his son Isaac Vint on their most recent project, The Tournament. But first, disability news for the week of June 22, 2020. Many have thought that autism severity remained the same over a person's lifetime, but new research suggests otherwise. A study looking at 125 kids on the spectrum finds that nearly half displayed a significant change in the level of their symptoms between the ages of 3 and 6. David Amaral is a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of California, Davis, and senior author of the study published recently in the Journal of Autism and Developmental Disorders. Amaral said, quote, "We found that nearly 30% of young children have less severe autism symptoms at age 6 than they did at age 3. In some cases, children lost their autism diagnoses entirely. It is also true that some children appeared to get worse," end quote. The children, all of whom received community-based autism intervention, were assessed at ages 3 and 6. A difference of 2 points or more over the course of the 3-year period indicated a significant change in severity, researchers said. About 29% of children saw their severity decrease, with 7 of the kids recording scores below the threshold for an autism diagnosis when they were reevaluated at age 6, the study found. Meanwhile, nearly 17% of the children experienced an increase in severity, and roughly 55% exhibited stable symptoms, according to the findings. The researchers said they were surprised to see that children whose symptoms increased over the time period studied displayed lower severity levels initially. They also observed different patterns for girls versus boys, with girls' symptoms decreasing in greater numbers than boys. In addition, children with higher IQs were more likely to see their symptoms decline, the study found. More research is needed to further understand what's causing autism severity to change in some children, those behind the study said. Said Amaral, quote, "Unfortunately, it is not currently possible to predict who will do well and who will develop more severe autism symptoms and need different interventions," end quote. It is widely recommended that individuals with autism receive a battery of genetic tests, but new research finds strikingly few people on the spectrum taking part. Only 3% of those with autism have received both chromosomal microarray and fragile X testing, according to findings from a study published recently in the Journal of JAMA Psychiatry. The American Academy of Pediatrics, the American College of Medical Genetics, and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry all recommend both assessments in order to determine more precisely what might underlie an individual's symptoms and point to treatment options, the researchers said. The study looked at medical records and self-reported information from 1,280 people with autism, ranging in age from 1 to 68 between 2013 and 2019. About 16% of participants said they had received some variety of genetic testing, with 13% having undergone Fragile X testing and 4.5% received chromosomal microarray testing. But the researchers found that only a small number of people were taking both of the recommended tests. The study found that genetic testing is more common for those diagnosed in recent years. Among individuals diagnosed with autism between 2010 and 2014, nearly 10% said they had received chromosomal microarray testing, which is a more modern offering. But adults with autism were unlikely to have had any genetic testing. Researchers behind the study said their findings highlight a disconnect between research and professional recommendations and what's happening in clinical practice, said Eric Morrow, an associate professor of biology at Brown and an author of the study. Quote, "This paper is really about how you implement clinical genetic tests in the clinical diagnostic setting. There is rapid progress from research, and then there's the doctor and health systems that need to translate that to clinical practice," end quote. And finally, the creator of Parenthood is bringing a new series about the experiences of three young adults with autism to Amazon. Amazon Studios said last week that it has ordered a coming-of-age comedic drama from Jason Katims that will stream on the company's Prime Video service. Based on an Israeli series, the show is about three 20-something roommates on the autism spectrum, striving for the same things that we all desire: to get a job, keep a job, make friends, fall in love, and navigate a world that eludes them, end quote. The roommates will be played by Rick Glassman, Sue-Ann Pine, and Albert Rutecki, all of whom are themselves on the autism spectrum. Said Katims, who is a writer and executive producer for the show, quote, "Having a 23-year-old son on the spectrum, it is deeply personal for me to get to tell this unique story of what it's like to come of age as someone with autism," end quote. Katims previously was behind the NBC series Parenthood, which chronicled the life of a family that included a boy with Asperger's syndrome. The new series was originally titled On the Spectrum when the pilot was produced, but so far it is without a title. Amazon did not say how many episodes have been ordered or when the show is expected to premiere. According to Jennifer Salk, head of Amazon Studios, quote, "Jason Katims is exceptional at creating beautiful and relatable stories about deeply authentic characters, and this new series continues in that tradition. This series is honest, touching, and incredibly entertaining, with casting that delivers a unique and genuine perspective on universal themes that we know our customers will love," end quote. And finally, a commentary. Today, June 22nd, marks the 21st anniversary of the Olmstead versus LC decision in the Supreme Court, where two women with disabilities, Lois Curtis and Elaine Wilson, led the charge to make the integration mandate for people with intellectual disabilities a reality in this country. The ruling established that unnecessary institutionalization is a form of discrimination under the Americans with Disabilities Act. The work to expand an array of community-based and integrated options, encourage full, meaningful inclusion in community life, and build economic self-sufficiency for people with disabilities continues to this day. In the face of the COVID-19 pandemic, supported home and community-based services is more critical than ever, given the terrible toll it continues to have on people with disabilities, their families, and support staff across the country. There is no reason why people with disabilities should continue to be imprisoned in state and private institutions in Illinois or elsewhere. With an annual cost approaching $300,000 per year per person, our state and a few others continue to prop up the behemoth without regard for the people it purportedly serves. Thanks to all of the self-advocates and advocates for human rights who continue the battle. And that's the news for this week. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. You are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm Vicki. This is Disability Beat, and I have on the phone with me Sam and Isaac Vint. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
No, thanks for having it.
So, Sam, I'm going to start with you. You are the writer and director. You've done several documentary films, but you did one specifically about a tournament that your son was involved in. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you arrived at this particular topic and, you know, what people should look for when they're viewing this film?
I arrived at this topic because my son plays sledge hockey, or sled hockey as it's known in the U.S. And we had found it was the first sport that he started to play, first team sport he'd been involved in. And when he was four, we went to a tournament. And as you may know, Vicki, is a tournament for sledge hockey is all mostly people with mobility issues.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're there, he's not in the minority anymore. He's in the majority, and he's there for his tournament, and all his buddies are there. And it was such a positive, awesome experience the first time we went. And we were kind of floating home, and my wife just said to me, I think you need to make a documentary about this.
So first of all, you live in Canada, right? So hockey correct. Is like the national sport, is it not?
It's our unofficial national sport.
Unofficial national sport. Yeah. So how old is Isaac?
In the documentary, he's 8. He's mm-hmm. 9 right now and is about to turn 10.
In 2 days.
In 2 days. Well, happy birthday, Isaac.
Thanks.
I was really excited to see your film, and it looked like you are quite the competitor.
Yeah, that's true.
So how long have you been playing sled hockey?
Well, in the documentary, it was my 5th season, but now I've been playing for 6.
Wow, so you've been playing for most of your life then.
Yeah.
Yeah, looks like you have quite a good team. And mm-hmm. I tell you what, they're a competitive group, man. They don't hold back at all.
No, that was part of what we wanted to show with the documentary.
Yeah.
That this isn't just to entertain the kids. They take this very seriously, and they're quite competitive.
Yeah, I know. I have a friend who's an adult who plays sled hockey, and he's broken bones, and he has, you know, he's been hurt a few times on his sled, but he keeps on doing it. He loves it.
Yeah, it's a super fun sport.
And one of our players actually got into the Canadian national team, the women's team, Alyssa.
Seriously? Wow, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, Alyssa White from the documentary is now the youngest member of Canada's national sled hockey team.
Mm-hmm. And so, Isaac, you've been around this sport for a little while. What do you think, you know, of your dad's project and this film that he's done about your team?
I'm really excited for, it's already came out, but I'm really excited for it to just spread so everybody knows about sled hockey, and it's a lost word.
Mm-hmm. And what's your hope, Sam, for the film? What is the expectation that you have about how broadly it will be seen, where it will be seen, and how people might be able to access it?
Well, it's available on nfb.ca, the National Film Board of Canada's website,
mm-hmm.
and it's free of charge, and you can watch it anywhere. You can watch it any country in the world, so I think it's going to be seen far and wide, and hopefully a lot of people watch it and gain a better understanding of children with challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and speaking of children with challenges, you don't like to use the word disability. Talk a little bit about that.
It seems like it's a bit self-defeating, and for many people, like especially once you get into the sports world and some of these athletes, like they're differently abled. They're just they get around in a different way, but they are incredible athletes, and they have a perfectly fine life. I just feel like disability is diminishing.
Yeah, and when people see this film, they will realize that if they tried to get in on one of those sleds and play that sport, they would have a heck of a difficult time doing it.
I think there's a couple of things about sled hockey that are pretty amazing. And it's like the first time you get in the sled, you can push yourself and you can probably stay upright and you can have some success. But also, you're not going to be a very good sled hockey player. It's incredibly hard to carry the puck and keep your speed up and complete passes. Like it's not an easy sport, and it takes some experience. And I think that's part of what we love to show in the documentary is, you know, a lot of the kids have walkers or wheelchairs and have a generally tough time getting around, and like a stair can, you know, ruin your day. And then they get on the ice, it's a whole new world. Now they're super agile and compared, like when we'll play high school teams of a stand-up hockey, and you can just see the role reversal out there. It's incredible. It's great to watch.
They play teams that don't use sleds. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Well, we play a couple of times a year. We'll play teams that are like a stand-up hockey team, but then we'll get them sleds.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're all down in sleds, and then the kids. And then there's some pretty high-level hockey teams that we've just trounced because it's difficult to play sledge hockey.
Mm-hmm. How often
we destroyed?
What was that, Isaac?
We destroyed St. Paul.
No, local high school here. There's some pretty good hockey players.
So, how many days a week do you practice? Are you in season right now or not? Probably not.
No. Everything kind of on hold right now.
Yeah.
But we have. You'll have. Looks like we're going to be able to have a summer camp this year, where they go for a five-day, full-day camp, and then we start up again in September.
And how often do you play every week when the season is going?
We usually have one practice a week, and then they'll pick up some other ice time along the way.
Mm-hmm. And qualifying for the tournament, is there just one big tournament in Canada, or is this something that's a regional thing?
Well, that particular tournament, it's a big tournament in Minnesota, and we just are kind of chief rivals in the team. Both of our programs have developed kind of side by side as the Minnesota Wild sledge hockey team. So that's essentially their tournament. So we went to that, and it's spectacular. But now, like every year, there's more. You know, like initially there was one in Fargo, North Dakota, but now there's one near us in Regina, Saskatchewan, and they're starting to pop up a little more here and there.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully the season will happen this next year. But you know, I know you guys are struggling with the COVID-19 pandemic as well. So are you at home and just trying to stay entertained?
Yeah.
Well, it's starting to loosen up here. We, like Manitoba, where I live, is exceptionally low. And so we have high hopes for things returning to normal fairly soon. We're still hoping to have a season in September for sure.
Mm-hmm. How was school for you, Isaac? Did you have to quit early this year?
We had to quit in March, mm-hmm. but we came back for like one day where there's like three people and it's for 1 hour. And like everybody's like wearing masks, but
it's been weird.
It's been confused.
The whole thing is confusing and weird, but what's your hope long term? I mean, you're only 9 right now. Maybe your dad can speak to this a little bit better, but obviously you're a sports guy. You know, you see yourself continuing doing this. Are there other sports that you'd like to try?
Right now I'm sticking to sledge hockey at the moment, but
Well, he plays wheelchair basketball as well.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty competitive sport as well. Mm-hmm. But being active and being an athlete sounds like it's a pretty important thing to you.
Oh, yeah.
Sam, what benefits have you seen for Isaac over the years that he's been playing this sport and for other students? Obviously, it's something that's been really important to your family.
Yeah, we love it. I mean, you know, Sundays, usually when we have practice, and it's a big day around here, and we'll get my daughter plays on the team as well, and it's just been, you know, obviously it's good to get out and be physical and do all that, but socially, it's, I think, by far the most important part about it. his friends and that group of people, as you can see in the film, are extremely tight and really, like, they're great friends. And those relationships are, I think, what's most important to us.
Yeah. Yeah, sports, you know, sports relationships, teams are really important to a lot of people. And I think that every kid ought to have the opportunity to do it. I'm so glad that you found this, Isaac, because I'm sure it's a lot of fun for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Sam, you might want to mention, too, you've done some other documentary films as well that people might want to look for. Can you talk a little bit about those, too?
Oh, sure. I think I did one called Alice and Kevin about two Native Canadians who live on a reserve up north. Alice is a mother, Kevin is a son. He has cerebral palsy and doesn't have many services up where he is. So it's kind of about their life up there. I have another one called The Ken Plain Way, which is about Ken Plain, who was formerly the quarterback at the University of Iowa and somehow ended up in Winnipeg and probably the best Canadian Football League player that's ever been.
Hmm.
His wife, incidentally, is from Illinois.
Oh, really? Where in Illinois?
Oh, it's right by the Iowa border. I can't think of the name of the town right now. It's not far from Ames.
Wouldn't be Geneseo, would it?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
First with an H, maybe? I can't remember.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. From Illinois somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. What else do we need to know about sled hockey in general? What are, you know, some things that people can look for or things that you would like them to look for when they view this film that you did? Which is, it's 22 minutes long, right? So it's not like a whole evening.
No, it's pretty quick. I think it's just the level of competition and what a great game it is. You know, you see some adapted games don't really work out as well, but sledge hockey has an excellent flow. The rules are almost exactly the same as what we call stand-up hockey. And you can see when we play the practices, like people that are just in the neighborhood all of a sudden end up watching. We played in between periods at a Winnipeg Jets game, an NHL game. Like, they got a standing ovation. People freaked out. Like, it's when you go see the sport, it's pretty awesome. It's super fun to watch, and it's highly competitive.
Yeah, it's not one of those films that you might watch and expect, you know, because you're watching people who have physical challenges that it might be one of those, you know, inspirational kind of things. It's really, I mean, it may be inspirational to people, but it's just a lot of fun to see this.
I think we wanted to show, like, how the kids had fun. And, you know, sometimes they're a bit petty or a bit silly, but they're kids, you know, so we just wanted to paint the picture of what it really was.
Yeah. Now, do they have professional sled hockey teams in Canada as well?
No, there's not professional, but it's like the Olympic level.
Mm-hmm.
There's a senior level and then the Olympics.
And is sled hockey an Olympic sport as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So is that something, Isaac, you might want to do someday, you think?
Definitely. That's the main goal. And it's not senior, and then national. It's senior, then provincial,
then national.
For the record.
Yeah, so that means practicing extra hard then, right? What position do you play?
There's, like, I usually play center, but sometimes I play defense too, and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everything but goal, really.
Yeah,
goalie's got to be a little bit difficult.
Yes, yeah, I think it's a very hard position to play.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever been hurt playing, Isaac?
Yeah, you got hit by a puck last year. That hurt.
Oh, yes. But I stayed in and got the winning.
That's great.
haven't broken anything. That's probably a good thing.
No, a couple of good bruises.
Mm-hmm. And your sister plays with you as well, huh?
Yeah.
You get along better on the ice than at home?
Much worse.
Oh, no.
Much worse.
Is she older or younger?
Older, but she plays like younger. Oh!
You better not let her listen to this interview.
Yeah.
You'll be in trouble. Well, I'm really glad that you were able to be on the show to tell me a little bit about your sport. And why don't you give contact information or the website for the film one more time so that people can take a look and check it out.
It's nationalfilmboard.ca, NFB.ca.
National Film Board. .org.
No, dot C-A.
NFB.EA. Okay, very good. I will put that link on my Disability Beat Facebook page so that people can get to it a little bit more readily. I've got it in some of the paperwork that I printed out from you guys and your story. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to, I actually got about 3/4 of the way through the film before I finish, but I'm going to definitely check out the rest and share it with folks when I can.
Well, thanks for having us on.
Sure. Thank you. That was Sam and Isaac Vint about their film called The Tournament. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week. No, down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. And you are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Before we turn over to Food Sleuth Radio, let's squeeze in one public service announcement. The Champaign Community Advocacy and Mentoring Resources Group, CCAMR, is having they're asking for people to write grants for individuals with disabilities. It is a private nonprofit organization. They provide mini grants to enrich the lives of adults with intellectual disabilities. Personalized mini grants are available for adults age 18 and older with intellectual disabilities who live in Champaign County. The grants provide financial resources for activities, services, or items to enhance their quality of life. Applications for mini grants range from $100 to $2,000, and they may be submitted to CCAMR by the individual, their advocates, or guardians. Applications are reviewed quarterly. The current grant submission is due by August 1st, so you've got some time. You can apply at any time, and as I said, those grants are approved quarterly, considered quarterly. For more details, go to ccamr.org. That's ccamr.org. And now here's today's episode.